Welcome to Economically Speaking, the information podcast designed to bring you the latest economic development news in the town and the surrounding area. Hosted by Babylon IDA CEO Tom Dolan.
Well, hello and welcome. My name is Tom Dolan, and you are listening to Economically Speaking. We're real excited today. We have a guest here that has been on the podcast in the past. We have partnered with him in the past and worked on different projects, but I could do no better than to welcome Dan Lloyd. Dan, welcome.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. It's good to be back. It's been quite a journey since, I would say, 2020, really a pandemic. So
that's
I'm looking
right.
forward to this conversation.
Well, I think that's what kicked a lot of this off, right? Which, again, today's topic and some of the things we're going to talk about. But I just wanted to, just a little bit, Dan, just to, you know, you have a great background, and I know you wear many hats, but you are the program director for the Babylon Economic Inclusion Program, again, which started back during the pandemic. You were recognized as City and State's 2025 Trailblazer as one of LIBN's Long Island Business News' 40 Under 40 in 2022. And you've also were appointed by Governor Hochul to the Regional Economic Development Council in 2023. So congratulations for all those things.
I appreciate that, yeah.
I know you're working hard. We run into each other, not only here, but out in the field at many events. And why it's important for small business owners. And maybe you can just kind of give us an overview and even explain what MWBE stands for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the program is under the New York State Division of Minority and Women Business Development, which is a segment under Empire State Development. Currently, right now, the executive vice president, his name is Jason Clark. He's doing an incredible job in the role with a lot of experience and expertise. So Minority and Women Business Certification, a lot of people say MWBE, that's the acronym for it, is the New York State's official recognition that a business is at least 51% owned, operated, and controlled by minorities or women. And it's important because it opens up access to state contracts. That's the primary focus for it, as well as subcontracting opportunities. And in addition, business development resources that are specifically designed to help businesses compete and grow. And so even with the subcontracting, a lot of time individuals or business owners will get their business certified, a look to aspire, and then they learn about primes or the different divisions and tiers, tier one, tier three, tier two companies. And so it's good to start having knowledge about how to navigate that landscape.
Sure, sure.
And what major contracts you could just come under and start working under.
Understood. It sounds like it's something that is a very valuable asset to have. So who would you say is eligible to apply, and what does it mean to be a minority or woman-owned business?
Yeah, I want to kind of keep it simple because that's always a big question. How do you define minority, and just how do they prove this kind of stuff? So eligibility requires that at least 51% of the business is owned, operated, and controlled by one or more women or minority members. This ownership must be real and substantial, meaning the owner makes the daily operational decisions and controls the direction, not just on paper. Applicants must also meet size, personal net worth, and business presence requirements in New York State. So once you actually go and start applying for this online, you're going to recognize that there's like 30 documents and questions they're going to ask you, which we're going to go through in this conversation.
Sure.
That helps them verify and prove that you are saying that your business is either 51% minority or women owned and controlled.
Understood. Okay, so it's not a just you put a woman, you say, yeah, she owns the business. There's a process to this whole thing, and we're going to get to that as we continue talking.
Yeah.
So what would you say if you were talking to a business, a minority owned or woman owned business? What are the main benefits to being certified?
Yeah, so certified businesses are listed in New York State's MWBE directory. So that's probably the primary thing, is you are going to now be included in a massive directory in New York State that primes or different contracting opportunities will then target you. It's also actively used by agencies and prime contractors, like I just mentioned, that are seeking diverse suppliers. So in New York State, is a 30% requirement for any major regional developments, and under that 30% is where this would be a huge asset and valuable if you have that certification.
Got it.
Benefits also include access to direct state contracts under $200,000 without formal bidding. So that's big too. You know, so a lot of times when these RFPs or procurement opportunities come out, there's a bidding war. So you're not just the only company that's certified at this point that's going to be looking to get that contract. You are bidding against potentially 5, 10, 15, 20 other businesses.
Got it.
If you have this certification and this contract is less than $200,000, you can apply for that without having to bid potentially. And the relationships that you have.
Okay.
So it also, just real quick, it also enables you to understand and get surety bond assistance, which is big as your business grows and you're looking to get to another level of procurement aspects, and as well as state-backed loans and invitations to different MWB expos and forums where networking leads to new opportunities. And we'll get into this again down the conversation, but relationships is the biggest part of how do you really get opportunities and contracts. There was a big forum yesterday in Queens, which was again hosted by Jason Clark, the senior VP for the division, and it focused on a lot of the different general contracts that are available right now for Queens and Long Island. So this included a lot of Long Island companies as well.
That's great. And again, New York State has done a tremendous job with this, and again, 30% is pretty.
Yeah, and they're committed. This hasn't changed, and you know that's a huge, this massive. I think it's $300 billion budget that goes into a lot of New York State's work. So this is a substantial amount.
That's great. Let's talk a little bit about the process. So if I'm a business that would possibly qualify for this type of thing, what are the first steps someone would take if they want to get certified?
So the application is completely online. It is digital. So that's the good thing. You're not necessarily having to mail documents or paperwork anymore. The first step would be to create a business profile on a New York State contract system website. That website is www.ny.newnycontracts.com. We'll probably add this link in the show notes, but again, that is www.ny.newnycontracts.com. That's the official site to create your business profile.
Got it. So that's where they go to apply. And are there any kind of residency or location requirements with this application?
Absolutely. So you're going to have to provide proof of citizenship or permanent residency, as well as articles of incorporation or operating agreements, personal and business tax returns, bank signature cards, proof of capitalization. Examples of that would be bank statements or purchase agreements, and as well as evidence of business operations in New York, since it's contracts, invoices, or leases. So they are going to, this is an investigator, right? So when you apply and you officially get all these documents in, New York State has investigators that are gonna review your application.
Sure.
And they're gonna look through all the documents that you're providing and submitting to say that you have 51% control and ownership of this company. They also wanna make sure that the company is actually a business. How are you making money? Is it profitable? It doesn't matter if it's profitable, but is it bringing in revenue? Are you actually in existence? So everything I just mentioned is how they're going to validate that.
Understood. And when you go through it, so I'm sure it's for some people, they would look at that and that stops the process right there. And that's where kind of the resources that you kind of help people with and help them navigate through that, because that probably happens a lot, right? Somebody looks at this and they say, wait a minute, I don't want to give my information, or I don't want to go through this process. But again, that has been where you've been able to help people move forward. How long does a process, or how, on average, you know, does this kind of a process take?
It's tedious. It's a lot. I mean, just having to get all of the documents. And if you don't have someone helping, like a resource like the Babylon EIP, or the Farmingdale SBDC, or any of the EACs that we even work with, Hofstra and Suffolk Community College.
Sure.
Some people just don't even finish it, because when you're looking at the documents, the 30 plus things that you have to either get notarized, sign, it becomes overwhelming. And there's a lot of nuances between some of the documents. For instance, I'll give you an example. Bigger businesses that are operating within, let's just say, $5 million, $10 million annual revenue, has less than 300 employees, is still considered a small business. But that business that has 250 employees is way different than a business that has 3 employees.
Sure.
That business that has 250 employees may be keeping meeting minutes. And so that's a requirement that this application asks. if you're a new business, you're operating 1 and 2 years, you're looking to get a certification, and you only have 1 or 2 employees, you don't necessarily have to provide meeting minutes, but you will have to provide a statement saying you don't.
Right.
And why. But that's a big hiccup a lot of times, because then a business owner will look at that and say, oh, I don't qualify. That's
right.
Not true.
Okay.
And so it's always good just to have a resource to make sure that they're helping you navigate it. Because if you don't, some people it takes a year or two
right.
just to get everything together and get everything structured. With the right help, I mean, we're helping businesses get this completed within less than 30 days.
Wow. Nice.
Very quick.
And like Dan mentioned earlier, again, all of this contact information is going to be available on the show notes. So please go to the show notes after listening. And all that information will be there, because what Dan just said is so, so important to business owners. And again, it, you know, yes, you do. And again, working with business owners ourselves, you get caught up in the day-to-day activities of running a business. And sometimes you do need that resource to help continue the process and keep moving that along. So we want to encourage that as we go through this. Also, you know, the 51% ownership rule in practice, kind of maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Division of Minority Women Business Development, again, that's a department that oversees this. They will review legal, financial, and operational documents to verify ownership and control. So that'll be your initial articles of incorporation, just the structure of it. They want to review to make sure that the name is aligned with the individual's personal name, if that's how you have your LLC or your incorporation. They look at initial capital contributions. And so if you're opening up a bank account, who's making that initial deposit? Who's making that initial investment? Or is there in a contract that you're getting actually revenue into that bank account? They're also going to look at operational documents to verify ownership and control. So they'll look at stock ledgers or operational agreements, tax returns, even resumes is something that you're going to ask to provide. Contracts, like I mentioned, it's always good to have one. If you don't, it's not going to necessarily stop you. And even bank signatory authority to ensure the minority or woman owner has real decision-making power. This is another example that I just saw recently. Sometimes an individual may buy a company from another partner or may have started a business 6 or 7 years ago and they're not still in partnership with that co-operator, but they're not on the bank documents. And so that's something that you have to get accurate, because you will get denied, and then you're going to have to wait 2 years to reapply.
Gotcha.
So the bank documents is very important to make sure that you have actual control of this business.
Right. And just listening to what you just said, that if, in other words, they knock you out for something like that, you'd have to wait 2 years.
Yeah.
So again, so important to have a resource and somebody who can help guide you through that to make sure before you apply. So there's also other options and other kind of certification. Maybe you could explain a little bit, what is the fast track application, who qualifies for that?
Yeah, so the fast track application is a quicker process for businesses that are already certified by one of New York's partnering agencies. So that would be like New York City's Small Business Development Centers, the Port Authority, or the US SB 8A program, which Farmingdale actually does a lot of work with helping businesses get that certification.
Sure,
so we could always work hand in hand with them. And this basically is because much of your information has already been verified. And if you submit fewer documents, it could get you approved faster. So they're pulling all that information from their partnering agencies. Then you don't have to basically create the wheel. It's already all there. That's what the fast tracking is.
Okay.
I'll just add on that, though. We have a great team and within this program. And so we've been able to identify a lot of the hiccups. So we're getting that information very quickly, as far as the documents getting submitted and making sure that a company is submitting the proper documents. Right now, we have 100% approval rating, so that's big.
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe stop now. No, I'm kidding. We're at 100%. Yeah. Just kidding. And there's also the MWBE certification, and there's a DBE certification, and maybe you can just kind of share a little bit as far as the difference between the two of them.
Yeah, this comes up a lot. This was more recently, especially after the pandemic, because a lot of new business owners, particularly that were younger, that I knew, that were really interested in, they were learning about the Minority Business Enterprise Certification, but then also learning about DBE, which is Disadvantaged Business. enterprise. And so the main difference is the DBE, the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise, is a federal program, which is focused on transportation-related projects. And it's funded by the U.S. Department of Transportation. And the Minority Women Business Enterprise Certification is a New York State certification, as we just mentioned. So one is federal, one is state. Right. You can be certified by both.
Gotcha.
It's just a little bit of a distinctive in how you get that certification and what type of contracts you can pursue with that.
Understood.
Yep.
You know, we sit here today, and obviously Washington is going through some of the things they're going through, okay, with the government shutdown, and you just mentioned a federal certification. Do you see any challenges in the future with what's coming out of Washington, or you feel more insulated here being in New York State?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of challenges, absolutely. For a business owner, one of the probably biggest obstacles is just not knowing where the market is going to go and where that's public or private. And so it's good, though, to get the New York State certification because it does really help you get your business structured. You're going to know everything about your business by the time you submit the application because it's like an investigation in a good way. You're not getting in trouble.
Sure.
You just are knowing everything about your business. And on the federal level, even if it's not as viable to potentially pursue a contract in 4 years and 8 years, maybe when that atmosphere is a little different, you're already going to be prepared.
Right.
You're already going to know how to pursue, who to contact, who to speak to, who to build relationships with, and your business is fully prepared to take advantage of the opportunity. So I still think it's important to eventually get in position to take advantage of federal contracts.
That's a great point, and I think a very important point for businesses to hear. You talked about some of the challenges and some of the things that we had and some of the common challenges, you know, you kind of touched base on a little bit, but if someone is missing a document or works for another job, can they still apply, or how does that work?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the common reasons where businesses may be denied. So missing or incomplete tax returns, lack of proof of capitalization, inconsistencies between documents, things like unclear operational control, or the qualifying owner having another job that prevents full-time oversight of the business. That can get a little murky, but basically it's essentially saying, you know, are you actually invested into this business? And a lot of people wear multiple hats. That's where you want to show where is the operational revenue coming. Essentially, let's say Dan Lloyd is not taking money from my W-2 and then just depositing that into this business.
Understood.
But there's no actual contracts or invoices. I'm just basically putting money into this business. That could be an initial capitalization investment.
Right.
But then they're going to want to see, all right, so for the past year, where has this money been coming from?
What's
the operational cash flows and the business process? So that's one of the main hiccups that'll keep a business from getting approved or denied. But yeah, they could provide explanations or substitute documents to prove they still have independent control of the business. The key is demonstrating that the minority or women owner is actively managing day-to-day operations.
Understood.
Again, it's an investigation. They want to verify everything.
Understood. So there's a criteria, which is a good thing also, right? Because if a business, like you said, you're working with businesses and you got to get them prepared and ready to be able to submit everything, but it could be, like I said, a good thing that some businesses get knocked out too.
Right? Yeah, I mean, well, in the past, there has been a lot of businesses that will apply. Let's just say that we're applying for the WBE, so the Women Business Enterprise, but it's really the husband or the partner or...
Right.
You know, that's looking to utilize this as an asset or resource. And this is really why they've...
They're looking at it as like a loophole that they can
get
that.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yep.
So let's talk. So we talked about the process, and now we get certified. Now I'm a certified business owner here in the state. How can a business use the status to win contracts? What happens at that point?
Yep. So I'm going to give you the factual, and then also I'm going to give you some of the real... of what happens immediately. So the factual is your company is going to be automatically listed into the state's NWBE directory, which is great. You're going to be able to attend NWBE forums and expos and actively market your service to prime contractors who need certified partners. again, if they're looking to utilize that 30% threshold or some of the mandates that will come on GCs, general contractors. So certification is now this door opener, but you're still going to have to network and submit strong proposals to win contracts. The reality of this, though, is a lot of people think once you get the certification, all of a sudden money grows on trees. Or there's going to be some door that just swings open and there's going to be a plethora of contracts. Right. That is not the case.
Okay.
Basically, the certification is giving you a leg up on the competition, but it's not going to guarantee you a contract. So you are going to have to make sure, which we'll get into with a capability statement, that your business is positioned and has the services to provide value in a specific industry or the market that is looking for this. A lot of times that it is in construction or it could be even in engineering. It's marketing, it's cleaning services, it's demolition. There's a plethora of different industries, but you have to make sure that you're clearly communicating the value that you can provide and also have the relationships. People want to do business with who they know.
Sure.
That's why the networking is really important. Once you can show proof that you've done this the right way and you can really accomplish whatever the contract or the goal is, you have a better chance of re-engaging with GCs and getting those subcontract opportunities.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So relationships continue to be a big part of
business. Relationships is everything.
Sure.
It's everything.
Sure. And you mentioned, again, the capability statement, and that is so good. So what makes that, I know it's an important part, but what gives it the validity that okay, this capability statement is right on doing with this business?
Yeah, I always like to tell people, like, think about it when you went on your first job interview or your last job interview, and you have to communicate who are you and what do you do. And on the resume, it gives you all your relative experience, your profile summary, your education, and your main skill sets.
Right.
Your capability statement is essentially that, but for your business. It's a 1 to 2 page document that highlights your company's core services, your past performance, your certifications, and unique differentiators. So you're explaining to a GC or a potential contractor what your business does and why it makes you uniquely positioned to win this contract. Government buyers and prime contractors use it to quickly see what your business can do and why they should hire you. It's also just good for the business owner to have this so they can look at it.
Right.
And tweak, you know, is this business making sense? Am I communicating what I do? Sure. And I like to say this to a lot of consultants and marketing firms, because there are a lot of consulting and marketing firms that get certified. It is a heavy pool of businesses. And
gotcha.
So it's very hard to explain why you're better than the next one when you're in that field. So
right.
A capability is something that helps a lot with that.
You know, you mentioned something earlier, too, as far as, you know, you'll learn a lot about your business going through this process. And kind of like what you just said with the capability statement, too, it's so important to be able to communicate exactly what it is that you do. And I think there are some businesses, again, it's not done intentionally, but again, they get caught up in the day-to-day operation of their business where they really never take time. So this process also helps flush out and really put you on a path. Period, for your business, right?
Yeah, and I'll just say, think about the industry, right? So if it's construction, primarily it's going to be more of a hands-on type of work. You can almost easily define the aspects of how your construction business is doing business. But when you're a knowledge worker slash a business, again, if it's consulting or marketing, that's a lot harder to separate yourself and define exactly what you do. So you want to continue to build around that and make sure that your value add is just really, really unique. And that could be, you know, where you're doing marketing for community outreach on big regional projects with housing.
Right.
That's a specific type of need that a general contractor may need that's working with a local developer. Got and so you start learning these things and how you can position yourself again to win. It's a business, so you want to make money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But again, this everything leads back to, again, the support and resources. And maybe you could just explain a little bit how the Babylon Economic Inclusion Project helped people with this process.
Well, I'll just give you a quick background. We started out of the pandemic, and it was honestly because at the time, there were a number of minority and women businesses that were located in the town of Babylon that just were not prepared to take advantage of the COVID loans or grants.
Sure.
The business structure, the documents, the finances. the business was doing well. They had operating revenue, but just were not able to get the documents together in time to take advantage of a lot of the assets and the resources that were available. So that's why we started this program. At the time, Governor Cuomo had opened up a mandate where it allowed us to utilize some of the money that comes into the IDA to help with storefront development and rental assistance. Unfortunately, we don't have that anymore, but we still are able to work directly one-on-one with business owners to get their business from the ground up, if it's just an idea, or how are they taking their current business, existing business, to the next level with a certification or just securing financial assistance or small interest loans. And so, you know, we're helping with gathering the documents, completing the applications. We also then connect them to training, funding, and network opportunities to grow after certification and do a number of different workshops in person and virtual. The biggest thing with this, though, is it's free. So we're doing all of this for free. We just talked about 30 plus documents that you're going to have to upload, gather, get together. We have all these documents on Adobe. This is not something that we're just going off the hip. We have all of this in place. It's situated. I would argue that we have one of the best systems in doing the certification at this point in New York State. We can look at the tax documents. We can look at your articles of incorporation. We can look at your resume. We can look at all the things that you're going to provide and kind of determine right away if you're going to be able to get this done or not.
Gotcha.
One thing we didn't talk about, I do want to mention, is there's a big misconception with taxes. So the state is going to require you to have 3 years of personal taxes and 2 years of business tax. There are some workarounds around with that as well. So if you are a business that is just a year old, you started your business in September of 2024, and you only have 1 year of tax returns, you can still submit that. You're just going to have to attach that to your 3 years of personal.
Understood.
So you should be doing a Schedule C, basically.
Okay.
If you don't have that, because that actually stops a lot of people too. But things like that is what we can identify as to whether or not we're going to be able to move this forward. Another thing is with your taxes and accounting. We actually ran into a situation. There was a three owners on one business. One of the owners made over $15 million. So you actually can't have more than $15 million in net worth and get approved for this application.
Okay.
So it's just determining little nuances within the application. Was that business owner more a 51% owner of the company? No. So then you can. So it's just really determining and helping these businesses, again, navigate this process. We do this for free. There are firms that will charge $5,000 for these services. This is all free. We help with everything, all the documents, and then help with submitting the application. So it's an incredible program.
Sure. And I got to tell you, I admire your passion and your dedication to this. I mean, this has been going on. Again, so much was exposed during the pandemic that you kind of took the bull by the horns, you and Tracy, and right, and kind of developed this. And I think it's so great. I really do.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Tracy, too. Tracy Edwards, who is essentially the main advisor to this program, I would say. And it's always good to have someone that has that much experience in this industry to lean on with certain questions and making just sure that we're getting things accomplished and helping get the word out with this program.
That's true. Yeah, she was on the podcast that day with us,
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yep.
So let's get into, in other words, this has been great. And, you know, one thing I wish for business owners is that they knew this before, you know, starting this process. Maybe you can give us some final thoughts, some outreach. If you have the microphone, you're talking to business owners, you know, what do you want to say?
If you have an idea, you don't quite have the business started yet. The main thing I would say is right now is everything is changing so fast. Industries are changing. Supply chain is changing. Technology is advancing super fast. AI is taking over so many different aspects of an everyday business.
Sure.
Make sure that your business and your idea is going to align with the future of how things are evolving, because it's changing so fast. Utilize technology and the resources
right now.
That's the big thing, because some of the business models that I've seen, I don't think are going to be sustainable in the next 5 or 10 years. And so you may get your business certified and could take 92 days to maybe even a year, depending, again, how they are structured. And then you really may only have 2 years to take advantage of that. So if you're just starting out, make sure that it's something that is, like, right now, a big thing in New York State and Long Island is going to be battery storage, energy, semiconductor chips. This is the biggest thing happening right now. So if you look at that supply chain, how can you position your business to take advantage of that industry? And it may not even be that you have the expertise. You just know the industry because, again, once you get that certification, you could always then subcontract that work to those that do it. You're just an expert at getting the business identified. And that's another thing, the NAC codes, so NIICS codes. That's big as well. So it's really the whole point of your business is to make money, and you're an entrepreneur at that point as a small business owner. So you want to make sure you're positioned to do that.
Makes sense, and yeah. Very interesting, very interesting. So, Dan, why can't we, people want more information, they want to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, so my Instagram, actually, social media, is all at Dan Lloyd. It's a public account, so it's very easy to get in contact with me there. You can also just feel free to call me. My cell phone number is 631-942-7569. Again, that's 631-942-7569. And the Babylon EIP website is www.babyloneip.org. It's also www.babyloneip.com.
Gotcha.
So you can contact us directly there. I also just want to give a couple of little sites, because the big question for those that do get certified is, where can I look for contracts? So I just wanted to throw a couple of them out that I have worked with in the past.
Sure.
So some of them is bidnetdirect.com. So that is a statewide multi-agency government website, bidnetdirect.com. You also have constructconnect.com, planhub.com, that's for commercial and remodel projects in New York. That's a private construction website. constructionwire.com, that's another great website to look at different general contract bids. databid.com, that's more of a subcontractor trade focus lens. The Blue Book Network is one that's kept quiet, but I like that one. It's a lot of local projects. So if you see a lot of times like a AT&T or Verizon store, and they will subcontract work to fix a sign,
sure,
or to help with painting. So those are little ones that you can lock into, again, depending on what type of business you have. The big one for New York State would be the OGS website. So that's New York State OGS Procurement. That's the official website. That is www.ogs.ny.gov. Again, that's www.ogs.ny.gov. That is the official statewide procurement portal. That's great to always lock into and make sure that you're following it. The last one I'll give, there's a couple more, but the last one I'll give is the New York State Contract Reporter. That's the official state bid postings.
Okay.
So anytime there is a posting for a procurement or a state contract, it will go on this site. And that is www.nycr.ny.gov/contracts.
Gotcha.
And this will all be in the show notes. I can send you all these links.
You gave us a lot of work here. Just kidding. All good. All great information. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. Any final thoughts that you want to just put out there?
No, listen, this is a unique time to be a business owner and an entrepreneur right now. It's one incredibly confusing with a lot of information all over the place, but at the same time, it's really exciting because of the technology that we have to utilize,
sure,
to help us get an edge and get ahead of the competition. So I would really take advantage of that. And also work with us if you're a local business owner in the town of Babylon, even in Suffolk County across Long Island, and you're looking to do business in the town of Babylon. Check us out at BabylonEIP.com.
That sounds great. Dan, thanks again so much. A lot of great information. Again, like Dan said, all this information, all the contact information, Dan's contact information, EIP program that we have here, all that information and the additional websites that he's given you and resources, they will also be available. But again, I want to thank you so much for being here. I want to thank the listening audience. Again, my name is Tom Dolan. You've been listening to Economically Speaking. Have a great day, everyone.
This episode of Economically Speaking podcast was brought to you by the Town of Babylon IDA. To find out more information about today's topic, our guest, or to simply stay connected, please visit the show notes where you'll find all the relevant links.